So let's have a question for you, Laura. Perhaps you could tell me and our listener, Qian Cheng, what happens to your brain when you're sleepy?
The way that we look at this is we actually do sleep deprivation studies. So that's exactly what it sounds like. We ask people to come in and volunteer to just be deprived from sleep for a couple of days because neuroscientists like to do that to people.
Why would you do that? That sounds awful.
I know.
Loads of parents who'd sign up for that.
Exactly. They can be our great case studies. So the idea is that we invite you to come in. So this is why parents wouldn't qualify, because they need to be well rested when they start. Because
that rules me out then.
Yeah. We need a good baseline. So we'll invite you in to come for a baseline and you would undertake a task. So that might be something like a serial addition or subtraction task, which involves our, you know, arithmetic, involves our planning, our working memory. So all of these things that are quite challenging and cognitively challenging. And what we'll do is we'll put them into a brain imager at the same time. And then we'll have a comparison. So we'll deprive them of sleep for 1, 2, or maybe up to 3 days, depending upon the ethics that they get. And we'll have a look at how things change. So how does their performance change cognitively? What's the decline, and what does this seem to correlate with when we think about what's going on in the brain? And basically they work on metabolic principles. So it's the idea of whatever neurons are active at the time, they need a certain amount of oxygen. These imaging techniques take a look inside the brain and takes advantage of the fact that there are different magnetic properties of oxygenated to deoxygenated blood. So while the blood sends all of this blood, the brain sends blood to the area, the neurons that are being used, and you can see the oxygen that's being kind of taken up by them as a proxy for their activity.
About what is going on when you're feeling really sleepy.
So looking at these two things, basically what we see, they're quite congruent with each other. We have global deactivation of the brain, but there are certain areas that are really hard hit. And those are...
So these are bits of the brain that are just going, just winding down.
Absolutely. And it seems to be dose dependent. So as the days goes on, the decline becomes more progressive. But the areas that are worst hit are the frontal areas and the thalamus. And this really makes sense when we think about our profile earlier, because the frontal lobe is responsible for planning, our executive function, our memory. And the thalamus is what it sits on top of the brainstem, and it's really important for alerting. And it has all of these feed forward and feedback mechanisms with the frontal lobe. So they talk to each other a lot, and it's incredibly important in attention. And one more interesting thing is this idea of when we look at sleep. So when you're in REM sleep or deep wave sleep, they're the first areas to turn off. So it tells us that they are very expensive in terms of their oxygen and their glucose use. And they seem to be what benefits the most from sleeping.
So basically, people will make worse decisions when they're tired because these important bits of the brain in decision making are just knackered.
Absolutely. It's the case. And you just have less resources to be able to use. And your brain is not functioning. It's not using energy in the correct way. It's not using its oxygen sufficiently. So you are less able to make a good decision.
Good idea to get a good night's sleep,
absolutely.
I reckon.
Yeah. Best prescription for a good night's sleep I've heard. Thank you, Laura.